Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So when I was a kid, like really little, I was 6 years old when we moved there, we lived in Peru. And it was a mining town on the coast of Peru. It was completely arid, a desert. Absolutely nothing grew there. Now, one of the interesting things about living in this mining town was that there was a country club. And the country club had a swimming pool. It had salt water in it, by the way. There was at least one tennis court, and there was a golf course. But there's nothing growing there, okay? So there's no grass at all. And so how do you make a golf course with no grass? They trucked in yellow sand, this fine yellow sand, and they poured it out in circles to be each of the greens. So the greens were yellow and they were sand. There was actually a flat rake that you had to use, and you would rake a path from the cup to your ball in order to putt. Now, sand, as you may know, is hard on equipment. And so I don't know if this is why, but there were no golf carts. There weren't even hand carts to pull the bags with. And I assume that that's because the sand would just get in the wheels and ruin them very, very quickly. And so the golfers carried their clubs, their bags, themselves. Or they would hire a young boy to carry their clubs for them. So I got the idea when I was about 10 years old that I could make money by carrying clubs for the guys and women at the golf course. And so I went down there one Saturday morning early, and I walked into the parking lot where the golfers would get out and hire caddies, and there was already a crowd of boys there, all of them Peruvian, and they laughed when I arrived. They laughed at me, and I wondered, why are they laughing? Now, I was really small, okay? I was a small kid, very, very, very skinny. Now, maybe they were laughing because they didn't think I could carry clubs for 18 holes. That's possible. Anyway, so the first car arrives, and the golfer hasn't even stopped before the entire car is mobbed by these boys. They go running up to the car, and they're yelling, and they're jumping, and they're like, pick me, pick me. And one of them was picked, and the golfer handed him his bag, and off they went. And then the next car came in, and the same thing happened again. And I was just astounded. I thought, how am I going to get a job? There was no dialogue. There was no interview. There was no negotiating a price for carrying the clubs. It was just this mob that would surround every car as the golfers arrived, and boys jumping, trying to look like the biggest, strongest one there. Well, I wasn't the biggest by far, and I never got a job that day. By the time noon rolled around, I was tired and discouraged and a little bit angry, and I just gave up and I went home and had lunch. So that must be at least a little bit what it was like to be one of those laborers that were still in the marketplace at 5 o'clock at night. Maybe they had run to each landowner and said, pick me, I'm strong, I can rake, I can prune, I'm experienced. But they hadn't been picked. And the whole day had gone by. They had experienced the disappointment of knowing they would not be bringing food home or money home to buy food for their family that day. And then this landowner shows up at the end of the day and hires them anyway. And I can just imagine the thought going through their head, well, I won't earn a whole day's wage, but at least I'll get something, right? I can bring a little something home. And then, as they're being paid at the end of the day, they're paid first, and to their great surprise, they received a full day's wage. They must have been thrilled. Now, imagine the line of laborers, right? And they're lined up from those that were hired at 5 o'clock to those that were hired at 3 and noon and 9 and early in the morning. Imagine the buzz going down the line as those in the back of the line realize how much those who worked but an hour were paid. And they thought, wow, we're going to be rich. This is going to be great. And they get to the front of the line, and they too received just one day's wage. This story asks us to choose between justice on the one hand and love on the other. Which is more important to you? If I asked you right now to choose between justice and love, which would you choose? The landowner chose love. He chose to express love through an act of generosity. He valued the labor of the last to be hired at 10 times that of those who were hired first. Now, we struggle with this parable because we want the world to be fair. We don't want to choose between justice and love. We want both. We want a just world with love. We believe in working for justice and equality. Over the last several weeks, we've talked about the injustice of racism and white privilege and the inequalities that lead to those serious sins. And so we have to ask ourselves, how are we to understand this confusing story? At the end of the parable, the laborers who had worked the entire day grumbled, and they said, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." That's fair. It's true. The landowner replied to one of them. He said, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" Envy and justice have something in common that can set them apart from love. Where justice counts and compares, love forgets. Love loses track. Where justice balances, love gives away freely without expecting in return. Envy, like justice, is all about balance and comparing what I have with what someone else has. This story is not about how to run a farm. It's not about labor relations. It's not about union organizing. Jesus tells us what the story is about at the very beginning. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the day to hire laborers for the field." This story is about the intersection of heaven and earth. When heaven breaks in and transforms our world, the rules change. When we participate as people in whom heaven and earth meet, our hearts are changed. Envy is the opposite of that intersection of heaven and earth. Envy is all about comparing what I have to what you have, looking at what you have to make sure that you didn't get more than me, or perhaps even to make sure I get more than you. It's So envy is like justice with no heart. Envy is like a perverted, selfish interpretation of justice and fairness. When we compare with others, we are bound to end up grumbling and bitter, like the laborers who were hired first in today's parable. We want to live in that place where heaven and earth meet. We want to be people in whom and through whom heaven and earth come together. I saw an amusing video clip of a father having a very difficult interaction with his young daughter. I think she was about 5 years old, but I'm not very good at that right now. She is just outraged. She said, "My sister got a grape popsicle and I didn't." And the father said, "Yes, that's true." She said, "But that's not fair. She got one and I didn't." And the father replies, "Well, there was only one, and so this time you don't get one." And she's just incensed. That's just not right. That's not fair. I should get something else. And she's just, in the video, it's really pretty astounding. Her argument is sound. She should be a lawyer. And she goes on and on about how unfair this is. And finally, he interrupts her. He stops her. And he says, Darling daughter, we don't look into someone else's bowl to see if they got more than us. We only look into someone else's bowl to see if they got enough." We want to live in that place where heaven and earth meet. We want to be the people in whom heaven and earth come together. We share a vision that on earth as in heaven, all are welcome, all are fed, and all are loved. This parable of the generous landowner challenges us to put aside comparing our lives with the lives of others. We are challenged to be grateful to God. Whether we identify with the workers who were hired at the end of the day or the workers who worked through the heat of the day. So I would like to end this sermon today with a couple of practical suggestions. First, and we've all heard this before, count your blessings. Each morning when you get up, find a moment, a prayerful moment, and find two things that you can be grateful for. Because gratitude is the best antidote there is to envy. Envy leads to bitterness and grumbling, but gratitude leads to joy. Another idea is to take a Sabbath from social media once a week. Because Facebook is about comparing what we have to what someone else has. Now, it's more than that. But it can so often devolve into comparing how someone else is doing with how you're doing. We put our best face forward on Facebook. We put the pictures of our spectacular vacation, leaving out the part where you fell into the river and ruined your $650 iPhone. Or we put beautiful pictures of our grandchildren on there, leaving out the part about how your son just crashed his car and is borrowing your car, and just, you know, we don't put that up there. So how about this? At the end of the day, rather than checking your Facebook feed one more time, take another moment of quiet, of prayer, and find two more things to be grateful for. Because gratitude is an antidote to grumbling and envy. Gratitude changes our hearts, and our changed hearts can change lives. We want to be people who live for our vision that on earth, as in heaven, all are welcome, all are fed, and all are loved. we can start by looking in our neighbor's bowl only to make sure that they got enough.